Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. First on the docket, the Breonna Taylor case. At least one indictment came down. Is it what you were expecting? Second, the teen accused in the Tessa Majors case confesses to his father. Third, an example of why past performance can be indicative of future results. Fourth, a 78-year-old grandma stops a home intruder. You're going to love this. New video in the Kyle Rittenhouse case released by his attorneys. Could this be what sets Kyle free? And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. First, if you haven't done so already, hit that subscribe button as well as press that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Now, as always, leave us a comment below. We love to know what you think about what we talked about today and if we got a lot to talk about. First on the docket, Breonna Taylor, that's right. The grand jury has met there in Louisville, Kentucky. And guess what? An indictment came down, but it's not what a lot of people were hoping for. It's not that far off from what I anticipated. As you know, you're never going to make everyone happy. A lot of people were hoping that all of the officers were going to be indicted. However, the prosecutors have to deal with facts. They can't go out there just to make a political statement. They have an ethical obligation only to make charges that they believe that they can prove beyond a reasonable doubt. And just because it's going to appease people that are threatening to burn down your city, that is not enough to sacrifice somebody to criminal charges just to make people happy. There has to be facts and there has to be evidence. So what did we learn today? The Attorney General, Daniel Cameron, said that his investigation determined that Jonathan Mattingly and Miles Cosgrove were justified in their actions and they did announce themselves as police officers before the shooting. Now, Brett Hankinson, who's already been fired, not for the conduct related to Breonna Taylor, but his conduct of allowing suspects to get personal rides home in his car and then maybe asking for some sexual favors in advance. That's why he was fired. Well, he now faces three felony counts and bail was set in the amount of $15,000. A warrant was also issued for his arrest. The mayor of Louisville has imposed a 72-hour curfew. The National Guard is on standby and things are already building, let's just say building. And as we talked about the other day, the city of Louisville gave $12 million for a settlement to Breonna Taylor's family, which also included a host of police reforms that the family thought was appropriate. Now, we're going to put up the entire news conference of the Attorney General in this particular case because I think it is very relevant. It's important to see how he lays out all the facts for you to see. I didn't get the feeling as though he was hiding anything. He laid it all out there and said he's charging what he can prove. Now, as I stated, Brett Hankinson, the officer who's, I guess, actually a former police officer, he was indicted, but not for shooting Breonna Taylor. Brett Hankinson was fired back in June, and he was indicted, as we stated, on first-degree wanton endangerment. Wanton endangerment is a Class D felony, carries a penalty of between 1 to 5 years in prison. And it is alleged that Hankinson wantonly shot a gun into apartment 3, which is a separate apartment than the one that they were going into where Breonna Taylor was shot. Now, the occupants of those apartments were identified by initials. None of them were Breonna Taylor. That means the grand jury didn't find that Hankinson wantonly fired into her apartment. Now, the Kentucky Attorney General, Daniel Cameron, said at this press conference that the grand jury decided homicide charges are not applicable because the investigation showed that there was nothing conclusive to say that Hankinson's bullet hit Breonna Taylor. Attorney General Cameron said that Jonathan Mattingly and Miles Cosgrove, two of the three officers who fired their weapons the night that Taylor was killed, were justified in their actions, which prevents prosecutors from pursuing criminal charges. Obviously, right? There's no violation of the law. You can't prosecute somebody. The Attorney General, Mr. Cameron, stated that in his investigation, and this was kind of different from what the press was reporting, found that the officers at Taylor's apartment did in fact knock and announce that they were police officers before that shooting. That account was corroborated by independent witnesses, according to the Attorney General. That is significant. As you may recall, Breonna Taylor's family was rather persistent in saying that it was a no-knock raid and that the police never identified themselves, which is why Mr. Walker thought that it was a home invasion and fired at the police. But the Attorney General was rather clear and said this was not a no-knock warrant. None at all. Attorney General Cameron also stated that the FBI, who handled the ballistics test in this situation, determined that the fatal round was in fact fired by Officer Cosgrove, and the Kentucky State Police ballistics test wasn't able to determine who fired the fatal shot. Now, Cameron noted that there were several wounds that Miss Taylor received from the gunshot, but that only one was a fatal shot. The others would not have killed her. Federal authorities are still investigating to see if any federal laws have been violated, but nothing as of yet. Now, hopefully, the city of Louisville and other towns across the country will not see violence. There are going to be people that are upset, but I think that if you watch the entire interview from the Attorney General, Mr. Cameron, you will see the facts do not support a charge against the other officers. In a quick nutshell, what happened is police officers apparently go in after they knock. Mr. Walker, the boyfriend, thinks that there's an home invasion, shoots. The officers then return fire. The officers were justified under the law to engage and unfortunately kill Breonna Taylor, but they were legally justified to do so. Some people may not do that. Some people may not like that decision, but that is the law. But just remember, ladies and gentlemen, you can protest, you can march, but as soon as you hit another individual, as soon as you destroy or vandalize somebody else's property, that's criminal mischief. That's rioting. Please don't do anything like that. That is not justified under the law, and it's certainly not justified to tear up other people's things and destroy things just because you don't like the way a legal decision came down. Next on the docket, a teen accused in the Tessa Majors case confesses to his father. Now, one teen charged in the murder of Barnard freshman Tessa Majors confessed his role to the murder in a recorded jailhouse conversation with his father. Now, I am sure that the attorney for this young man is upset because there's no doubt in my mind that this attorney told his client not to talk on the phone. When they warn people when they call from jail and say this call is being recorded, they mean it. Now, back in the old days, it was difficult to record telephone calls from jail. Now, it's all digital. It's literally like downloading a song to your phone. It's that quick. And the police use this all the time. But yet, no one in custody ever seems to believe that their calls are being recorded. For those who don't recall the Majors case, she was an 18-year-old freshman at Barnard, and she was stabbed several times while walking through Manhattan's Morningside Park on December 11th of last year. Authorities say she staggered her way up a flight of stairs and was later found by school security officers, where ultimately she was pronounced dead by the time they got her to the hospital. Rashawn Weaver, who was 14 years old at the time of the murder, is charged with two counts of murder in the second degree. Luciano Lewis, who was also 14 at the time of the murder, was charged with one count of murder in the second degree in connection with the case. Both are being tried as adults and have pled not guilty. The prosecutors apparently have released this information that Mr. Weaver was heard on an audio recording describing his role in the alleged crime, including hitting the victim with a knife. Now, the attorney for Mr. Weaver, as I said, was obviously not going to be happy that his clients confessed to the case, allegedly, but he said that leaks of alleged evidence in the case is repulsive. The efforts to demonize a 14-year-old already facing life in prison by the leaking of alleged evidence of an alleged confession is repulsive, according to Jeffrey Lichtman, his attorney. And then again, he said, trying a 5 foot, 6 inch, 120-pound, 14-year-old boy as an adult is equally repulsive in a civilized society, so today's news isn't a surprise. So Mr. Lichtman was going out swinging, defending his client. Now, there's another boy who's 14 whose name has not been released because he has not been charged as an adult, and he was sentenced to 18 months in the children's services there in New York. So a couple of lessons there. Once again, don't take other people's things. And when you do that, if somebody dies in the commission of that, guess what? You could be facing murder charges, even if you're 14. And I get it. 14-year-old boys, not exactly the smartest people on the earth. I know. I was there once. But it's pretty common sense, you would think. Don't do it. Bad things can happen, and you could wind up spending the rest of your life in prison. And when your attorney says, don't talk on the phone, he means it. Don't talk on the phone. Next on the docket, an example of why past performance is indicative of future results. Yeah, check out 53-year-old Douglas Lane. Apparently, if you are spying on young girls going to the restroom, bad things can also happen to you, just like as you can see in this picture. Duncan, South Carolina police arrested a North Carolina sex offender, that's right, Mr. Douglas Lane, because he was allegedly caught in a woman's restaurant restroom Sunday morning. Now, according to police reports, a 15-year-old girl claims that a man identified as Douglas Lane was looking at her while she was in the woman's restroom at a Cracker Barrel located in Duncan. She said that she noticed something moving at her feet and realized it was a man's head coming from the stall on the other side. When the girl left the restroom, guess what she did? She went and told her father, who then got a female employee to go get this guy out of the bathroom. Now, girl's father confronted Mr. Lane, who tried to get away, but another father, aware of the incident, reportedly helped tackle Mr. Lane in the parking lot and restrained him until police could arrive. Once again, trying to look in the bathroom of a 15-year-old going to the restroom could result in pain to you. Just ask Mr. Lane. Now, where is the past performance is indicative of future results? Guess what? Mr. Lane is a registered sex offender, and guess what? He's been charged for peeping at least 8 times prior to this particular case. What can you say, ladies and gentlemen? Past performance is indicative of future results. Let's take a quick recess. Do you want to know if you're going to get involved some way with a Mr. Lane out there in the world? What's the best way to do it? Get a background subscription service. Go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up, and you can have unlimited access to do background checks on people that you come in contact with. That's right. You type in their name. The report is generated anonymously after searching millions of public records, and that report will show information related to, guess what, sex offender status, other criminal charges. There's going to be information that shows any cell phone numbers, emails, and social media connected with that individual. It's going to show whether they have civil judgments against them, marital records, divorce records, and property records. You don't need a Mr. Lane in your life until you know with whom you're dealing with. Go to crimetalksearch.com, Sign up for a background subscription service today. I'm telling you, you'll be happy you did. We have talked about this before. What is the great equalizer out there? That's right, a firearm. Well, if you don't think it's true, ask this 78-year-old woman who held an intruder at gunpoint after finding the man breaking into her home. Now, this took place up in Spanaway, Washington, and the woman, who goes by Sandy, knew that something was wrong the other day when her dog, Boo Boo, started barking Sunday night. She said, "I opened my door, and standing right there, 2 to 3 feet in front of me, was a man." She said, "We looked at each other for a second, and he turned and started to leave." And I said, "Oh, no, you don't. You stay right there." That's right. Sandy said her neighbor, who has allegedly been plagued by crime, recently resulting in her car being prowled twice when she came face-to-face with the intruder. She was about to let him run away. She said, "Nope, I reached over, got my shotgun, I cocked it, and I told him to stay right there." And that he did until the police arrived. And she said she told the police, "I was totally calm, really, truly was. This is amazing," she said. "You know, I got grandchildren your age," referring to the burglar. The grandmother asked why he tried to break in and was alarmed to hear some of his answers. According to the police, he was looking for his wife and talked about how God has sent him. Deputies arrested the suspect, and it's all because of Sandy's quick thinking and her shotgun. Fortunately, no one got hurt, and Sandy described the man as very meek and mild and did what he was told to do. She said it was very empowering. She said it was like I was in charge and she wasn't afraid. Now, it became very clear to the deputies on the scene that the man showed signs of impairment, but he did not seem distressed. He was released because Sandy chose not to press charges. But I guarantee you, the word will get around, don't go messing with Grandma Sandy. Next on the docket, let's do something that's going to get everybody a little fired up. Everybody seems to have an opinion about this particular case. I at first was very skeptical that Mr. Kyle Rittenhouse should not be charged. Then new evidence came out that showed that he was clearly acting in self-defense when he was on the ground. But I was a little less certain about the first shooting incident. It wasn't clear whether he was basically turning around and firing randomly at people, which clearly could be considered reckless conduct. So as things progressed, and as we've stated, Lynn Wood, who has made a fortune representing people in defamation cases, represents Kyle Rittenhouse, and he has a team of attorneys. Well, they have released a video, and it does a pretty good job explaining what has happened during the night of the protest in Kenosha, and they are arguing that it is a clear-cut case of self-defense. Now, you all are going to have to decide, but at least you should do is have as much information available. And as soon as we find it, we're going to make it available to everybody. Because I think, as we found out, even in the Breonna Taylor case, people form a lot of opinions. People jump to a lot of conclusions. But you got to wait for all the facts to come out. That's why when you have a jury trial, the judge tells you you can't start your deliberations until you've received all of the evidence in the case. So, quick recap. Rittenhouse, 17, he's charged with the intentional homicide and other charges for fatally shooting 2 and injuring 1 during a confrontation that took place on August 25th. Now, that was the third night of protests over the shooting of Jacob Blake, a man who was shot in the back and ultimately paralyzed. As you may recall, the police went there for a call related to a domestic dispute. Mr. Blake had a warrant for his arrest for felony sexual assault. He was in some sort of skirmish with the police, started walking away, ultimately went to his car, looked like he was attempting to grab a knife. At least that's what the police purportedly believe happened. He was shot, paralyzed, but still ultimately charged and had to appear in court from a hospital bed for the felony sexual assault charges. No criminal charges have been filed against the police officer in that particular case. Now, as I stated, Rittenhouse's defense team released footage outlining the defense's version of the events of the night of the shooting. In particular, they're highlighting the events that led up to the first shooting. And that's what I'm saying. That's what we didn't have a good understanding about early on when this case first came out. Now, in this very well-produced 11-minute video, it shows the argument and it goes into where the shots were first fired before and after the fatal shooting, which killed 36-year-old Joseph Rosenbaum. Rittenhouse's attorneys argue that the teenager was running away, and that's the picture shown here with him and the gun, from a group when he started being chased by 36-year-old Joseph Rosenbaum, the man there pictured on the right. Now, as Rittenhouse was running away, his lawyers argue and point to a single gunshot that rang out across the street. They circled the muzzle flash, as you can see from this picture, and Rittenhouse, who was not pictured above, was running away to the right of the frame when the shot was fired. They also believe that the video shows Rittenhouse running into a parking lot, followed by Rosenbaum and journalist Richard McGinnis, who was filming the chase on his cell phone. The film then goes on to show that the teenager turned back and pointed his gun at Rosenbaum after that first gunshot rang out from across the street. McGinnis, who was filming the ordeal, later said Rosenbaum lunged at the barrel of Rittenhouse's gun in the seconds before the teenager fired. Now, once again, the lawyers say Rittenhouse fired four shots at Rosenbaum. The video captures then three additional shots of an unknown origin immediately after Rittenhouse fired. They point to this grab of Rittenhouse coming back to the scene to check on Rosenbaum, and McGinnis gave him aid. The lawyers then say that this grab shows Rittenhouse attempting to call 911 as McGinnis continues to provide aid to Rosenbaum, then say that an angry mob formed near Rittenhouse, who was on the phone. Rittenhouse could be seen quickly fleeing from the scene on foot as an angry crowd began to form. He was on the phone at the time and he could be heard saying, "I just shot somebody." What happened next is more widely known, thanks to the video circulated soon after the shooting. As Rittenhouse fled, he was pursued and struck from behind. Rittenhouse tripped and several people began to attack him while he was on the ground. After falling, one protester was captured on cell phone, kicking Rittenhouse to the ground. Another man then approached and could be seen hitting Rittenhouse over the head with a skateboard. Rittenhouse fired a shot at the man brandishing the skateboard while he was lying on the ground. The man who initially kicked the gunman to the ground can be seen running as the gunshot broke out. The man with the skateboard stumbled away from the gunman clutching his chest after being shot as another approaching man appeared to put his hand up in front of the shooter. The man who put his hand up can be seen above from a different angle attempting to cover himself as the gunman fired off his rifle. That same man was subsequently shot in the arm by Rittenhouse. The man who was initially shot in the chest can be seen collapsing on the ground behind them. Rittenhouse got back up on his feet, and while the man who was shot in the chest laid on the ground and bystanders screamed and ran in terror. What becomes clear is Rittenhouse's defense team is arguing that the lead up to the shooting proves their self-defense claim. They point to footage of a dispute between Rosenbaum, who's in this red shirt with the black pocket, and men arguing at a nearby gas station prior to the shooting. The lawyers argue Rosenbaum got into a confrontation because he was starting fires. Rosenbaum's argument was mainly with an armed man dressed in a green shirt. Rittenhouse's attorney theorized that Rosenbaum may have later mistaken Rittenhouse for the other armed gunman guard that he had a dispute with earlier. The lawyers also argued that this footage shows Rittenhouse sprinting with a fire extinguisher to put out another fire, which his lawyers claim that Rosenbaum was involved in starting. Anthony Huber, the gentleman here, was identified as the man shot in the chest. He later died from his injuries. Gage Grosskreutz was the man that was shot in the arm. Now, social media posts unearthed by Rittenhouse's legal team purports to show a social media post by a friend of Grosskreutz who spoke with him at the hospital. It states, Ben Stuckless. So the kid shot Gage as he drew his weapon and Gage retreated with his gun in hand. I just talked to Gage to his only regard was not killing the kid and hesitating to pull the gun before emptying the tire mag into him. Coward. This whole video, you can see, is supporting the theory of self-defense. Now, obviously, with the defense putting this out there right now, they are definitely alerting the police to their theory of defense, and the police will be able to counter it if they have other evidence. However, based upon what I've seen here, the district attorney handling this case may have some second thoughts. Let me know what you think. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Please meet Suzanne Miller, 71 years old. She was released the other night from county jail after being booked on one misdemeanor count of assault. According to the arrest affidavits, the victim told cops that Ms. Miller became upset and started getting loud when he declined to put on a mask. The man who was returning to his apartment after retrieving mail in the lobby said that Ms. Miller, seen at the right here in this photograph, told him she didn't feel comfortable riding in the elevator with someone who wasn't wearing a mask. Unable to stop the man from pressing the button for his floor, Ms. Miller began yelling, "He's assaulting me." When the man still refused to leave the elevator, Miller tried to push him out of the elevator and started intentionally striking the man with closed fists on his shoulder, according to the police. A female witness told police that she saw the 5'2" Ms. Miller striking the victim multiple times on the arms and chest area with an open hand. Video surveillance footage corroborated their accounts provided both by the victim and the witness. Ms. Miller, she was released on a $1,000 bond, goes back to court on October 21. Now, Ms. Miller, I understand it's an apartment complex. There's this whole COVID thing. You probably had on your mask. You wanted this other individual to wear his. Well, guess what? He wasn't. He was in his house getting on the elevator. You could have just waited. You could have just let it go and let him ride up the elevator. When the elevator comes down, then you get on if you didn't feel comfortable. But you can't go around assaulting people, ladies and gentlemen. Guess what? If you do that, it's a crime. It's called assault. It's called battery. And people go to jail for that. And I'm sure the 71-year-old Miss Miller has better things to do than to go to court for having no defense to striking somebody because he didn't have a mask on. That's all we have for you today. Big news day. Let me know in the comments what you think. Did the Attorney General in Kentucky make the right decision? Do you think 14-year-olds should be charged as an adult? And what do you think about the old sex offender? Past performance is indicative of future results, no doubt. And of course, that grandma, she's not taking crap from anybody. That's all we've got. Have a great day.